Good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church this morning. As always, we are glad that you are here. Your presence does enhance the worship of all in this space.
My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you this morning. A couple things as we get started this morning I want to call to your attention. First, I hope you'll notice your friendship pads or pew pads, whatever you may like to call them, that are seated in the hymn racks or at the end of the pews where you're seated. We do hope you'll take a moment to take these and pass them down the pew. I hope this gives you a chance to become a little bit more familiar with some of those who are worshiping around you this morning. Also, you'll notice in those same folders a connection card. And so we certainly do invite you to take this card and fill it out to the level of your own comfort. We hope it gives you a chance to communicate with us some things that you would like to share with us as a church staff, whether it is some contact information or maybe even just some prayer requests, other information that you would like to share with us. As we begin worship this morning, we would like to begin reflecting on some of the words of the psalmist, reading from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. And now let us all stand as we sing for joy.
Glory. morning. I want to talk to you about something you are going to see and be part of in worship today. A few weeks ago in Sunday school, you all learned about the Last Supper. You know, when Jesus had a meal with his disciples, and that's when they shared bread and they shared wine, and that's when Jesus told them that he was going to die, but that he would live again. Now, we don't really know what that scene looked like. They didn't have cameras back then, and there wasn't an artist in the room drawing the picture when it happened. So, you can go ahead and get some. So, years later, people started drawing and painting pictures of what they think the Last Supper may have looked like. They used the Bible. They used the stories that they had been told and that they heard and that they remembered, and they used their imagination, and they were drawing and painting what they think that that Last Supper scene might have looked like. And over the years, there have been lots of different versions. So here's a version in one of my children's Bibles. Hold on. I took my markers out at 8:45. There we go. So there's a version in my children's Bible of what it might have looked like. That's just somebody's imagination idea. And let me see if I can find it in this one. But over the years, lots of people have done lots of different pictures. Yeah, you actually are going to get a chance to color. That's right. You are going to get a chance to color and make your very own version of what you think the Last Supper looked like. So, there we go. So here's another version of what somebody thinks it looks like. A little bit different than the cartoon one, huh? Yeah? You think that one's better? That one looks more true? Yeah. Because I don't think Jesus was a cartoon, right? So, here we go. Here's another idea. All right, you like this one even better?
I like that.
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay, we'll do another one. So there's another version. That table's a little bit smaller, right? Wow. Okay, look, there's another one. Look, that one. Yeah. Okay, there's another one. Look, I got one more. Well, look, this one, there's a dog in the picture. Or maybe the dog was eating what fell on the floor, the scraps. Yep. So I want you to draw what you think the Last Supper looks like. Mr. Tim is going to give you a clipboard with a piece of paper on it. Here's what one of my 8:45 friends did. And they drew their version. So I want you to use what you remember from the story and what you see in worship today and your own imagination. And you draw. You just do the best you can, and you draw a picture of what you think the Last Supper looks like. Okay? Can you do that for me in worship today? Before you go, let's say a prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for the Last Supper and the story that it tells us, the forgiveness that Jesus promises. We thank you for these children and their lives and their eagerness to learn more about you. Help us all to experience worship today like a child, in wonder and amazement, with open hearts and open minds. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. A message so simple to be understood by children, yet confounds our greatest theologians. And I think that requires a response from us. And I believe that response is to give ourselves to that kind of love. I love the way that Hebrews 12 writes about the cross. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." That word joy, we don't often think about that word joy when we talk about the cross, but it's this joyful kind of love that greets us this morning. And so I want to respond with the song 583, "You Are My All in All." Maybe that's the response we can give this morning. Let's stand.
and who are present in this place. Today we come to worship, and we've set aside a time to gather our offerings and our tithes. And Father, as we do that this morning, we seek your wisdom that as we disciple to our community, to our state, to our nation, and to the world, that we witness that at your table there is room for everyone. Amen.
From the Gospel of John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and there was a stone lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, there is already a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
Because I'm worth it was at one time what is referred to in the marketing world as a household phrase, something coveted in terms of status for any slogan attached to any product at any time in American history. Tagged to the company L'Oreal in 1973, it captured the female imagination at a time when a new spirit of feminism was underway. Since then, the phrase has evolved to "because you're worth it," and most recently, "because we're worth it." The original slogan, "because I'm worth it," is a powerful phrase when you consider all the ways we seek personal worth and worthiness in a market-driven culture. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, this business of self-worth, from beauty to psychology to spirituality to fitness to self-esteem. The self-help, self-worth industry is one of the largest in our time. Because I'm worth it captures the imagination, and that's where its success truly lies. For if I can be taken prisoner by the concept that I am worth it, if the it in the case of L'Oreal is a beautiful woman, then I'm going to do my best to become or be that. And I do that by buying beauty products as a step along that path. At least that is what the campaign is designed to help someone believe. Capturing the imagination is key in any successful marketing campaign. Our gospel story today also seeks to engage our imagination as we consider the miracle of resurrection. Only it doesn't try to capture our imagination like a marketing campaign. Rather, this story tries to free our imagination. In this encounter between Jesus and Lazarus, we find what we are really looking for. We find a truth that can call us out from all that we are hiding behind and deliver something real. A real love to call us from all the false pursuits we have made to find self-worth, to convince ourselves that we are worth it. This story challenges and invites us to imagine that kind of freedom. There are so many forces in our lives that have bound our imagination, so many influential voices singing their siren songs that it's difficult for us to hear and believe that our imagination could really be free. In our story, we hear the words from Jesus' lips addressed to a spirit and to an imagination that is completely dead. Come out! And later, unbind him, set him free. Even those who are closest to Jesus have a hard time imagining that he is capable of this kind of resurrection. Everywhere you turn in this story, Jesus is questioned. Later today or sometime this week, you should read the whole of the story. It's most of chapter 11. And when you do, you will see how Jesus is consistently questioned. His disciples question his logic. Are you sure you want to go to Judea? You know they want to kill you there. If Lazarus is really just sleeping, as you said, then what's the big deal? Martha is hesitant to believe that Jesus can pull off this resurrection thing. Even though she loves him and believes in him, she still has a hard time suspending her disbelief at this crucial moment, the very moment when he has come to literally raise the dead. Jesus is there to set free the forces that bind. Mary and Martha both insist that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus' death would not have happened, still not realizing that even in his physical absence, even though he is not present, Jesus is more than capable of calling us forth, even from the deep, dark grave of our death, even our dead and captured spirits. Part of what they have not fully understood, though feels like they are on the path, is that each one of them is worthy of a love they cannot fathom. They are worth it. This love will pursue them, even to the grave. This love is stronger than death, and in Jesus, this love is made fully apparent to the world. Lazarus, come out! For Lazarus, it was a literal call to exit the tomb of death where he had been for many days. But the call is not just intended for Lazarus. It is a call to all of us, a call to come out of the caves in which we have sealed ourselves through our relentless pursuit to prove that we are worth it. Jesus calls to us. And when we answer the call to come out, we, like Lazarus, are invited to stumble out of our darkness. When we come out of our darkness, we respond to this generous gift of freeing love and acceptance, and then we quickly realize that we, too, are bound. Maybe it is anxiety, or fear, or self-sufficiency. Whatever it is, it's wrapped around us like the binding cloth of death. We have searched our entire lives for our sense of worth, worked to prove that we are in fact worthy, searched in places and in things that have no true center. In that desperate searching, we have become bound by the great emptiness of it all, frozen, immobilized, deadened and flat, bound. And so Jesus says, unbind him, unbind her, let him go, let her go. He says this to all those forces that would try and convince us that we are not yet alive and we are not yet worth it because we have not achieved enough. Those forces seek to hold us forever captive to the grave of our dim existence. They don't want us to leave the darkness of our tomb and walk toward the light of acceptance and love. The story of Lazarus is an invitation to imagine what it would be like to be free of all of those binding forces. It is a call to come out of our tombs and be unbound. What will our response be? All throughout Lent, we've been asking questions in our worship questions that spring from the gospel passages about our identity. Who are we? What does salvation look like? Who is in and who is out? Who is to blame? And each of those questions have moved us closer to the cross, closer to the great picture of God's redeeming love for each of us and for all creation. And so today we ask the question, what is our response? The story of Lazarus invites us to consider how our lives are bound by our own ambition, bound by the voices of the world that say, you must do this or must achieve this to be worthy, bound by our own insecurities and guilt. The story invites us to consider what life might be like if we responded as Lazarus did to the invitation to come out and be unbound. Can you imagine this kind of freedom? Can you imagine that there is one who knows and loves you so completely, and then allow yourself to be seen by this love, to be fully observed by it, to be called out by it, and to walk towards it? Can you imagine this kind of freedom, this kind of love? So please hear this today. Hear this from the life and presence of Jesus. You are worth it. Love, that is. You are worth it. The truth that Jesus so clearly states in this story today is a truth that we may have known at some time in our lives or somewhere, maybe even many times in our lives, but it's also a truth that we so easily and often forget. We forget it for many reasons. Maybe the truth was stolen from us by some kind of violence done to us along the way. Maybe we made choices that have left us feeling too dirty, too bound to ever believe it possible. Or maybe we have numbed our sense for this truth through our relentless pursuit of everything in our culture that says we need to be or to do something to be worthy. It is easy to forget. It is easy to be bound. And yet we can recover this truth today through our very belief that it is, in fact, real. That Jesus is the restorer of light in our darkness, of life in our deathliness, of love and worthiness without the need of proof. Jesus invites us to all this and more. Jesus calls us out of our disasters, rolling away the barriers that seal us in, calling us by name, and commanding all that binds us to be unbound. He says, come out, unbind him, her. Or as he says in another story of resurrection, little girl, rise up. Or yet in another story of healing, open your eyes. And in so many other stories, get up and walk, take a drink. I do not condemn you. It is quite simply who Jesus is, and therefore who God is. Lazarus heard this voice, the voice of God calling to him through the heavy stone that sealed his grave, calling to him through the decay that had already begun working on his body, calling to him through the very illness that had taken his life, pursuing him even in death, and somehow the strength came to him. The power of life surged in him, and he heard the invitation of Jesus. He heard the voice of God and walked out of his grave. Imagine that. Today, the call to us is to walk away from death towards life, toward the fullness of life that is present in Christ, a call to embrace a sense of worth that is not secured through a product that can be bought and sold in the marketplace or by our own efforts, but through the free experience of genuine love, the love that is and of God. This is love of which it is said that once you find it, you forsake all other empty pursuits, for it encompasses all love, and from it all love emerges. It is the love of which the Apostle Paul claimed, when the complete comes, the partial fades away. This is the divine love that guarantees your worth, because it is the love that created you and knows you and accepts you just as you are on this very day. In order to find it and be found by it, you must be willing to walk towards it. Like Lazarus from the grave, it calls to you and to all of us. It calls to our imagination, for it cannot be proven scientifically or empirically. It requires us to imagine that it is, in fact, real. And in the freeing of our imagination and our willingness to imagine and believe that this great love can be and is, in our walking toward it, toward the presence of Christ in the world, we discover that we are accepted, we are worthy, and made real. So how will you respond? What is your response to the voice that calls you to come out and be unbound? In a few moments, you will be invited to come to the Lord's table. You will hold in your hand and taste in your mouth a reminder of God's ever-present love. What is your response? Will you allow your imagination to hear the thundering whisper of God telling you to come out, to be unbound, and to receive the love you are worthy to receive, worthy, just as you are? What is your response? We must not forget the familiar words from this story, often spoken at funerals and memorial services. Jesus' words to Martha: I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I am, Jesus says. Not, this is what I do for certain people, or this is what I will do one day. No, Jesus says, I am. This is what I am. He's talking about the power of God working through him in all the dead places and for all the hopeless cases. He's talking about something that was true that day in Bethany, will be true in the future, and is true right now. I am resurrection. I am life. Stay close to me, and you will know that power in your life now and later on too. Death can do its worst. It has and it will. But through it all, I am. Through it all, you are worth it. What is your response? This day, we are called by Christ to see that we are worth resurrection from the darkness and dimness of our lives, not through any feat we can perform on our own, but by responding to the call of love to come out, to be unbound, and to be transformed. What is your response? Amen. This morning, we will take communion by intinction. If you're not familiar with it, this is the practice of tearing off a piece of bread and then dipping the bread into the cup and then partaking of both elements at once. The table that you are invited to is not Greystone's table. It's not a Baptist table. It's the Lord's table. And so all who call Christ Lord are invited to come and taste and see that you are worthy. There will be a station that is roaming around the sanctuary for those who would prefer not to get up or don't feel comfortable. They will come find you and give you an opportunity to also taste and see and be reminded of your worthiness. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Make sure that the room was empty so I could start to clean. And I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I'm trying to make sense of what I heard. I've cleaned this room so many times before, but what I heard today just astounded me. I'm not surprised that the room was being used, everybody getting ready for Passover, but the things I heard them speak of, I've never heard anything like that in the what I've understood Passover to be from my Jewish family. And this man Jesus, he spoke of sacrificing his body and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And this kingdom of God above. Who was all that? Was that for just the men in this room? Or could that be for anyone who partakes of this bread and this wine? Could this be for me? Could everyone be welcome at this table?
Oh,
What began with a small group gathered around the table has grown beyond the boundaries of city or country or class or race or gender, truly encompassing all of humanity and all of creation. There is room at the table for all. And having been captured by the love and peace of Christ, I say to you, the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Will you please stand and share the peace of Christ with those around you? Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Just a couple of brief announcements. This Wednesday, we will be continuing our interfaith dialogue with our Muslim brothers and sisters from the Islamic Association of Raleigh. There will be individuals present with us this Wednesday at 6:30 to continue our discussion, to learn more and give you the opportunity to ask questions. This is in follow-up to their gracious invitation to an open house many weeks ago, which some of us were able to take advantage of their hospitality. And so we extended back to them in a continuing partnership. We hope you'll come be a part of that and consider joining us for dinner before that at 5:30. Just simply make a reservation in the office so we are sure to have food for you. Finally, as you exit the sanctuary, we hope you will grab one of these flyers, which depicts the artwork and the narrative behind the artwork and kind of the creation story of how this beautiful picture came together. It was crafted by members of our own faith community. We are grateful for their gifts and their passions and how that has played itself out in enhancing and enriching our worship today. So please grab one of these. Let it be a devotional guide for you, not just this Lenten season leading up to Easter, but beyond. Again, thank you for worshiping with us. Let's close our service. We're sons and daughters of the Creator, brothers and sisters of the Redeemer, and the power and peace and justice of the Sustainer is loose in the world through you. Amen.